Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, as we continue our journey through the book of Romans in our Nothing Will series, today's teaching is entitled, From Suffering to Sonship. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and powerful message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
Every need, physically, emotionally, every need. And when he created Adam, he made Adam complete with every need met. Adam was wanting nothing. All right? And when Adam sinned, he separated that. He separated that need. So now all mankind is looking for love and always in need of it. Instead of being complete. All right? So now we always feel incomplete. So we grab this, and we go after that, and we go after this, and we go after that, still being incomplete, all right? Never really satisfied. Give you a temporary satisfaction, but never really completely, all right? And ever since the fall of man, mankind been searching and looking for this affirmation or this feeling of oneness with those that we respect and love. And if you get rejected by those that we respect and love, that hurts you the worst. I love my father. He died at 55. And I love my father. I still love him today. But as I start growing in the Lord, and I started, Jesus set me free from smoking, drinking, lusting, lying, cheating. I ran the streets. He got me out the streets. He taught me how to stop smoking. He taught me how to quit this, stop this, go over here. He changed my whole world as I yielded to him. He changed my whole world, all right? He changed my friends. He changed my whole world, you all. Now, I still, you know, would see my friends every now and then. I would give them Jesus because Jesus changed me, all right? So as he started teaching me about finances. He started teaching me, I thought, you know, because these things you don't think is as important when you're in the world to God, but it is, all right? And Jesus started weaning me from my father, my earthly father. What I mean by weaning me, I started asking Jesus to teach me how to handle finances. Teach me how to manage what I have. Teach me, Lord Jesus, I'm still praying it, all right? But then he gave me some instructions. He said, don't ask your daddy for no more money. That's what I mean by weaning me from my daddy or from my father or him being a father to me, looking to him to be my father. He started weaning me in that way. He said, ask me. Get on your knees and ask me. When you need it, don't call him. Call me. All right. So he started weaning me from depending on him. Because whether you have the perfect parents or not, they can only take you so far. They can only do so much. They are not here to complete you. All right? They're here to get you jump started in your relationship with God. All right? And then it comes to a point where you will have to start trusting the Lord and not trusting your parents or your father or your mother or whoever it is. All right? And we love them, but when Jesus really start teaching you and being a father to you, we start looking to him. Because father, just the definition, means source. Source. And he is the source of all life. All right? He is the source of all life. So Jesus started teaching me and weaning me from my father. Now, I was still a son to him. That means Jesus would tell me, pay this bill, go bless him, go cut his grass, go do this, go bless him. Stop looking for him to bless you. All right? If he blessed me, I accept it, of course. But in my attitude, looking to him to give me what I need, Jesus started teaching me to go to him. Then with my wife. Emotional needs. He started teaching me not to look to my wife for emotional needs. all right? He started teaching me. Why am I talking about this? Because we look to people to meet our needs in so many different areas, and they just can't satisfy us. All right? When people are loving you, yes. But what about when it stops? Because they are not designed to love you forever. What do you do then? Most people get frustrated and ask, why are you not loving me? Why are you not doing this? And we get frustrated and mad. And then Jesus started teaching me that I love my wife, and she loved me, and I'm not down on her at all. She's saying, yeah, baby, inside. Preach, preach. Because she had to learn these lessons also with me. Amen. And why am I even talking about this? Because when you start moving to coming from these dependencies from physical, you know, people wanting people to satisfy you and to complete you, as you transition from the kingdom of darkness or one family, the kingdom of darkness family with Satan as your father, and come over to the kingdom of God, there is a form of suffering that your flesh go through. And it be whining. Y'all know what I'm talking about when your flesh whining.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Yeah. Amen. When Jesus was helping me get off them cigarettes, after I ate, my flesh started whining. Yeah. When I woke up in the morning, my flesh, you know you want a cigarette. Why are you doing me like this? And I tell my flesh, I'm saved now. Amen. I'm filled with God now. And I have to preach back. Praise God. Let's go to some scriptures. Y'all want some scriptures? Amen. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Praise God. Amen. Like we received the spirit of bondage when we was born or something. Because he said again. You see that? And then he said, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Father or Daddy. All right? Only when the Spirit does this, though, the spirit of adoption or the Spirit of God comes in and makes you a son. Listen to this. Look at this. It says, the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There is a suffering that takes place in the flesh because of the changing of families. And you will experience this suffering in the flesh because the desires of the flesh that used to dictate to you instructions no longer you have to follow. All right? And so you don't have to do what the flesh wants you to do. All right? Through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the work of the Holy Spirit, you are a son and a daughter of God. And really, he just called everybody, girls and boys, sons. If I can be a bride, amen, you can be a son. Amen. He called the church the bride of Christ, right? So I got a nice little dress on, my nice little white dress. If I'm a bride, you can be a son, okay? Praise God. My nice, y'all see my little dress? He coming back, it's going to be pure white. Amen. All right. So he makes you sons of him, sons of God, by the Spirit. All right? So now this Spirit that's in you, you look to God as your Father now. Or he cries out, Father God. Why would the Spirit cry out, Father God? You've been born again. You in another family, all right? You have another father that you are learning about now. You've been adopted into the family of God. And you have to learn about your new daddy and your new father. Amen? This is called renewing your mind because you still have memories of your flesh. You still have memories of your old family, of what you used to do, all right? And so now you don't have to do it no more. And Jesus gave us a perfect example of this in John chapter 8, verse 25. John chapter 8, verse 25. The title is called From Suffering to Sonship. I'm reading from the NIV. On the screens, it's a New King James Version. It says, "Who are you?" Then they said, "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I've been telling you from the beginning," this is Jesus replying. And he said, "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have learned from him, I tell the world." Ain't that what we do? That's what we're supposed to do. When Jesus teach you, you're supposed to tell somebody. Amen? And he does this when we get saved. Like, you're supposed to, when you get saved, you're supposed to tell somebody. Amen? The Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. How you been doing? Man, saved, gave my heart to Jesus. Tell somebody. Amen? This is how others start thinking about Jesus from your testimony. All right? And he said, "As the Father have taught me, I tell the world." They did not understand what he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, and let's start right there at 28. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. See, in the Old Testament, the Jews didn't understand Father God. He was just God. He wasn't a Father God. Or they didn't know him as Father God or as one that wanted to father his children. He was just God. And they had very little revelation about the devil. And a lot of times in the Old Testament, when something bad happened, they blame God. And when something good happened, they blame God. They had very little revelation about the enemy and the devil. Amen. And we learn in the New Testament that the wages of sin is death. We learn in the New Testament that the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. Job didn't know that. He had very little revelation on what the purpose of the devil's, what's his M.O. All right? Kill, steal, destroy. We learned that from Jesus, right? Why wasn't it revelation about the devil in the Old Testament? Because Jesus didn't come to explain everything. That was Jesus' purpose, was come to explain everything. So it still was some things that needed to be explained why Jesus was on earth. And then he said the Spirit of God here to come and bring back to you those things that have taught you. All right? So it's the Holy Spirit's job to bring back things and to teach us further revelation where Jesus left off. All right? So they didn't understand Father God. He's like, you know, because when Jesus said my Father, they thought he was talking about, what do you mean, Abraham? Our Father is Abraham. Watch how they respond to him. 28. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me, that no one who sent me is with me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." You are not alone. You are not alone. Because he says right here, the one who has sent me is with me. The one who has sent you is with you. All right? When you read scriptures, you always put yourself in the scripture. And if you see Jesus do something, see yourself doing it. All right? So if Jesus did this, because he is our example that we should follow. All right? So put yourself in the scriptures. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. 31, the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Nothing sets you free like the truth. No laying on hands, no casting out devils, no praying in tongues for 3 hours. It ain't nothing like just accepting the truth. All right? What's our problem? We believe the lie since the day we've been born. And what's that lie? If you've been raised in the world, or the wisdom of the world, or their way of thinking is a lie. It's a lie. All right? If it didn't come from Jesus' lips, it's not the truth. It might be a fact, something that sounds good, but the Bible says the way that seems right to a man, it seems right. It sounds like it could be, but did Jesus teach it? All right? And that's what we analyze and we comprehend. If it didn't come from the master's lips, amen? Only truth set you free. How do truth set you free? Jesus said you don't have to no more. That means you don't have to let your flesh rule you no more. The things that you do that's in the flesh, like I used to, and just one area is, let's just mention smoking. We talk about smoking in Sunday school. Let's just mention smoking. Now, if you smoke, I'm not trying to beat you up. If the shoe fit, kick it off. All right? Play like Cinderella. Kick that thing off. Amen? And say, ooh, man, that's me. And just kick that thing off and repent. Amen? So smoking is one, right? The Bible says you don't have to no more. The Bible says no longer yield yourself as members. Yield your members to your body to this thing. You don't have to, but yield yourself to God. The same way you yield yourself to the flesh, you can yield yourself to God. Praise God. So this is the truth. You don't have to no more. All right? You a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. All things become new. Praise God. Amen. Christ has delivered us. Delivered us from the power of darkness. We don't have to no more. So just by accepting that truth, now go and say, I don't, what? Not quitting, not stopping, but accepting truth. All right? Into your consciousness, into your understanding, and receiving it as truth to you. Start saying it with your mouth. Start accepting it. How do you accept truth? You have to start saying it. The Bible says, out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said, by your words you be justified, by your words you be condemned. How do you accept truth? You have to start saying it. All right? Jesus set me free from whatever it is. And who the Son set free is free indeed. It's not willpower. It's not mind over matter. That's the world. Mind over matter is the world, man. All right? So, Jesus set me free. How about just Jesus set me free from you, cigarette? How about that? Ain't don't nothing set you free like truth. Don't nothing set you free like truth. All right? Nothing. Nothing. That's why I like teaching it, because it set people free the most. Now, it is room for laying on hands. It is room for all that stuff and everything. You know, we do that. We pray for the sick, but ain't nothing like truth. Ain't nothing like you accepting it to your conscience that you don't have to deal with an error you've been dealing with. You mean to tell me I don't have to no more? I don't have to put up with this? All right. Thirty-two. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teachings. He said, hold to my teachings in 31. And then 33, they answered, we are Abraham's descendant and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be free? Jesus replied, verily, verily, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Yes. All right, this is so powerful. Forever. All right. First, I stop there. Oh, 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendant, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. That's so powerful. Jesus said they had no room for his word. It's so important that we make room for Jesus' words. That's what we do when we pray before we receive the word. Lord God, I yield to you. Lord, I open my heart up for you to teach me. We're making room for him to come in and change us and change our perspective and change our understanding and give us a new light on how he sees so we can see as he sees. Amen? And I'm telling you what I've been telling you in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who's told you the truth. Amen. People are not going to like you a lot of times when you start telling them what Jesus said. Amen. They're not going to like you. Amen. If they ain't like Jesus and he was perfect, come on now. They're not going to like you. Praise God. So when they knocked on my door and asked me, Jasper, where is it? And where is it means is another word of asking, where is the illegal drugs so I can use them, okay? So when they knock on my door and say, Jasper, where is it? I said, oh, no, Jesus set me free. Oh, you holier than thou now? You were just smoking with me last week, Jasper. And I was like, man, I'm free. Amen. Jesus set me free. Once Jesus started teaching me how to resist, it has to be Jesus come out and you resist them temptations. You just can't stand under it. You have to resist with Jesus. Praise God. They're not going to like it all the time. Some people say, man, that's real talk, and they act like they like it. But then, you know, you got to separate from them. Because they go, either you're ministering to people or they're ministering to you. There's no in-between, no gray areas. Either you helping them or they're helping you do something. All right? Now, I do love my family. I do visit people, but I hit them and I get, you know, I hit them and I hit them and I spend time. But when they start getting rowdy, praise the Lord. Love y'all. Amen. Because I start seeing myself used to drink. I start seeing that bottle hitting my lips. And that's when I know it's time to go, because I used to be there. All right? And he said, if Abraham was your children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I've heard from God. Abraham did not such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. And that's those religious folks. Jesus said to them, if God was your father, you would love me because I come from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? This is so powerful. Lord Jesus. He said, why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, let's stop right there. Jesus said, why can you not understand my language or hear my speech? I think the King James say, hear my speech, understand my language. You would tell people sometimes that might not understand, especially on a job. If you're in close quarters, somebody do you wrong, somebody cuss you out in front of everybody, then Jesus tell you to go do good to them. All right, everybody not going to understand that. All right. When you go bless them that curse you, like Jesus says, all right, everybody they're not gonna understand that. Why did you do that? Well, Jesus said, bless them that curse you. Jesus said, do good. He said, overcome evil with good. Why are you kind to them? They just cussed you out yesterday. Why are you kind to them today? Jesus said, be kind to them devils. That's basically what he said. I have to not look at people as devils. But I have to look at, this is the way we respond now. this is how I fight. I used to fight with my fists. We used to put on the gloves. We'd say, put on the gloves. And we had some Everlast gloves. And we'll go behind our apartment, and everybody out their windows, and we out there duking it out, right? For free, just for the neighborhood. Because somebody said, put on the gloves. And you can't just not put on the gloves, all right? But that's how we used to fight. We used to fight with these, right? But now Jesus is showing us a new way of responding. And people might not understand it. They're not going to understand it, all right? Because they are of their father, the devil. Put it like this, you all. This is so good. It's only two families on earth. And we have to grab this understanding. Because sometimes we think those goody two. I mean, listen, it's only two families. God's family or the devil, and you in one of them.
Right, right.
And this is the reality. All right? This is the uncut truth. All right? And what do I learn this from? Right here, these scriptures. Why did I say that statement? Jesus said it, it's just in another way. Right. All right? So, then he said, you are of your father, the devil. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of it. That means he created lying.
Right.
The devil created lying. And every form of it is of him.
Yes.
That's why we have to learn truth and be honest. Mm-hmm. And be honest. It's the first thing I'm teaching my kids. I've been teaching them ever since they was two, is to be honest. When you start sneaking and lying, that's the devil. This is how he get them. This is how he got me. These are attributes of the devil. When you start sneaking and lying, that's not God. All right? So just be honest and open. All right? That's the best thing. We go through our house, and we have confession time. And I tell my kids, tell me the truth. Anything you need to tell me right now. And we have confession. They know they're not going to get a whooping. I told them if they tell me the truth, they ain't going to get a whooping. I give them mercy. But if I find out, you're getting tore up, right? Amen. Well, that's how our Father is. If we confess our sins, that means to admit. That means to admit. In the Greek, it means to admit to.
Right.
He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right?
Right?
So I have to transfer that type of behavior to my kids, right? So if they tell me the truth, like my little girl came, and it was an altercation happened between my two girls. The day before, Gabrielle stepped on Trinity's foot and hurt it real bad when Trinity was crying. And she was like, Daddy, Gabrielle hurt me. And I was like, well, baby, was it an accident? Was it on purpose? And she said, I think it was an accident. I said, forgive her. Let it go. Well, the next morning, Gabrielle came in crying. You know, and automatically my spirit, I said, you did that because of yesterday, because she retaliated. And she was half asleep, and she was like, no, Daddy, I wouldn't do that. And she said this. She said, that's evil. That's what she said. I was like, oh, because I thought I got her, you know, but I knew I heard the spirit because it was so quick. It was almost instantly. As soon as I heard it, it was instantly. I seen Trinity just doing it out of spite. And later on that day, I was coming home from work. She was coming to me. She said, Daddy, I lied to you earlier today. Yeah. And I said, oh, really? And she said, I did it on purpose. I hit Gabrielle on purpose. Now, why would she come and tell me this? All right. First of all, the spirit had caught on to it. I said, listen, you are not going to get away. I teach them 5, 6. Jesus right over you, just like this, watching you. And you have to, and he living in me. All he had to do is tell me. So you're not going to get away. All right. So we promote honesty in my home. If you tell the truth, you don't get a whooping. All right? So that's why she just came and told me, because she knew she Hey, she got found out anyway, and she lied on top of it. And I told him, if you do one lie, you'll do another one.
Right.
Another lie begets another lie. I gave him an example. If you took $2 out of my drawer and you knew the $2 was there, I came and told you. I said, baby, you seen my $2? I had $2. No, I didn't, Daddy. And then I said, man, I promise I had $2. So I asked him again. That's a second lie. Now you got to tell another lie to cover that up. And now you're just in a perpetual lying cycle. But we have to nip it in the bud somewhere and say, I did it. We have to be honest and come out and say, I did it. Sometime, amen. And so I have these confession times with my kids where I ask them and I say, do you have anything to say to me? Do you have anything to confess to me now? Just tell it, go ahead, and I'll give you grace and mercy. Amen. And, sometimes they start crying. You know, but we have to keep them tender and honest. Amen. And Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. All lies come from the devil. All right? Jesus is the truth. Praise God. Let's move forward. In 45, he says, yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any one of you prove me guilty of sin? I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. Man, that's so good. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Anybody that ain't going to agree with Jesus, they don't belong to God. This is so true. Now, that's not my words. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. If people don't honor Jesus' words, they don't belong to God. All right? And they don't understand his speech. The King James said they don't understand his speech. They can't hear. He said they hear and still don't perceive. They see and still don't perceive. They see with their eyes, but they don't understand what they're understanding. They hearing what Jesus said, but they're not comprehending. All right? That's powerful, because now we can start getting honest with ourselves and say, look, man, look, you know, I'm not doing nothing Jesus said. If your Christian walk ain't about Jesus, it's not Christianity. Amen. And I'm here, and Jesus sent me here to destroy the works of darkness in the church. Man, this stuff cannot be allowed. It cannot be allowed. It cannot be tolerated. You must repent and come to Jesus.
Yes.
You must tell Jesus you sorry. You've been doing what you want to and come to him so he can make you a son. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. There's no such thing as universal sonship. Everybody God's child. No. No. It's two families on earth. God's family and the devil's family. All right? We come out of darkness into light.
Yes.
All right? We come out of darkness into light. And that transitioning, coming out of darkness into light, it's a form of suffering that your flesh gonna go through. The Bible, that's why this title called Suffering, From Suffering to Sonship. Because when you coming from that fleshly nature, and that fleshly family that's been used to doing what it want, when it want, how it want, and now it's about what he wants.
Yes.
Now it's about what God wants.
Yes.
Your flesh, which we do still have, and we are looking forward to a new body.
Yes.
That's why we have this hope of getting our new body without this flesh, without that warring of wanting to sin.
Yes.
Amen. I'm looking for it.
Yes.
But until that happens, we must contend with this flesh, and we must resist the flesh. We must submit to God. And resist the flesh, and them devils will flee from you. All right? And this is so true. All right? 48, Jesus answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are Samaritan and have a demon? I'm not possessed by a demon, Jesus said. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself. But there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Verily, 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 truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. Ooh, that's powerful. That's some powerful speech. That's some powerful speech. At this, at this they exclaim, now we know you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets, yet you say that whoever obeys your word would never taste death. Are you greater than our father, Abraham? See, they was trying to know him after the flesh. They didn't know nothing about no spiritual heavenly father. They wanted, ain't this just Joseph's boy? Ain't this the man from Nazareth? What? He's just a carpenter's son. How can he be the son of God? They was trying to know Jesus after the flesh. Amen. This is so powerful, man. How do you know yourself by? Are you just your daddy's boy? Are you just your last name? Or are you a son? Are you a citizen of heaven? Do you still just claim your earthly family? Or do you see that you've been part of another family that you've been born of? Amen. How do you start changing that? You start accepting the reality that you are no longer just your daddy's son in the flesh. Now you are a son of the Most High God because of the spirit that's in you, that created in you this sonship where you now cry, Father God. Amen? All right. Let me give a short story and we can close on up. Amen. Y'all enjoying yourself?
Amen.
Praise God. So, Jesus faced the same things you would have to face. Amen. You would have to face this. It's a suffering that we must suffer with Jesus. All right. And the form of suffering that most people is not just physical martyrdom, going to a cross. It's an inward suffering a lot of times that we more can relate to. And that inward suffering is what people going to think, what people going to say. If I tell them I'm saved, you wondering how they might respond. If I say, no, I don't do that no more, you wondering how you might, that might offend people. And you now you start thinking what they might think, and they might not even think in that.
Right.
Amen. These are the struggles that Christians go through. And it's a part of that. It's a part of your flesh. All right. It's trying to reason out outcomes and events that might not even ever happen. All right. And all this comes because you've been, you know, you was born separated from your heavenly father or the one that created you originally, not just your physical father, but it's one that created you. Your life that you came from, that every baby, every animal come from, that life comes from God. Mm-hmm. All right? So this is the understanding that we must have, that it is a form of suffering that we go through as Christians. All right? And it's an inward struggle. All right, and one that I can relate to all the more is this. I know you can relate to this, is we have three children from me and my wife, and then we have a fourth with this Jordan. He's the same age as my young son. Now, Jordan is my brother's son. DHR brought him by. They was in a hotel. He's been in our house ever since. That's been, what, 3-4 years now? 3-4 years. All right, but first when Jordan got into the home, you know we gonna love, right? We love you. It was hard for him to understand that we loved him. And he would say, I love you, but I love my mommy too. Mm-hmm. Why? Because his former family. His former family. He's no longer with mommy no more, or his original mommy, right? He's with us, a new family. And the first thing we had to get past is he kept bringing up his mama. So when you get saved and come to Christ, man, you got a flesh that's going to be able to relate to that form of family. And that flesh going to be popping his head talking about, but I like to do this other. I like this other stuff over here. Amen. Mother over there laughing. Amen. We all can say amen on that one, ain't that? Amen. So when Jordan came into our family, we had to keep loving him, all right? And he just thought the world of his mama, and, you know, we knew the reality, amen? And we didn't tell him the reality. We let him see it. When she said she was coming over, she didn't come. Where mommy at? We love you, Jordan. Come on. Let's go celebrate your new family. And this happened time after time after time after time again to the point where now he don't even care. It's been 6 months. We ain't even heard from him. He don't even care. He run to me just like my kids run to me. As soon as I come home, I get bombarded. every time I come home, they running like this, right? He running too. Uncle Jasper! But even we was being offended a little bit because we doing all this love, we taking care of you, we cleaning you, we doing everything. And your mama doing nothing. And you still have the nerve to talk about her. Amen. Even though we love her and we not down in her. But the reality, he saw the reality in himself. When every promise was failed, and we know we here to keep our word. We showing him the right way. Because your flesh going to have hiccups. Your flesh going to be wanting to revert back because that's what it's used to. But you are no longer a part of his family no more. You are a son of the Most High God. If you've been born again and been changed by his spirit, you are a son of the Most High God. You don't have to go back to what it used to be. He got his own room, and they was in a hotel room. You don't have to go back to the slums. All right? But it took us loving him and keep loving him and keep loving him and keep loving him. We love you. And he used to say, I love you too. I love my mommy too. I'm like, we ain't even talking about your mommy. Your mommy ain't got nothing to do with you. Now, we love her too. We love her too. And that used to be offensive. Like, it was like, man, what's your mama got to do with this? Hey, you know, we getting you up in the morning. We feed you. We did all this. But Jesus just said, keep loving him. And you're going to have to let Jesus keep loving you.
Amen.
All right? You're going to have to keep letting somebody like me keep preaching you the truth until you get it. Because I'm going to keep telling you the truth. That ain't who you are. That ain't who you are. You are not your flesh. You are not that stinking girl or that stinking boy that used to run them streets and do that thing. You're not that no more, especially if you've been bought with a price. If you surrender your will and you're yielding yourself to the Lord, the Spirit of God is changing you where you can now forget where your father wasn't there and your mama said that and your grandmama said this and they didn't treat you right. Forget all that stuff. You have a new family, a new father, and he want to love you more than what your mama couldn't, more than what your daddy couldn't. And what they failed in, Jesus want to fulfill in. And so therefore, you no longer have to use them as an excuse. You no longer have to use them as an excuse that you are not there. This is the reason why I'm like this. No, you don't have to use that as an excuse. The truth is that you have a father who loves you. And he want to keep loving you. If you let him, you have to allow him to love you. You have to let him change you. Continually conform you to his image and keep coming and hearing this. Amen? No matter who done hurt you, Jesus can heal you. No matter who done let you down, he'll never let you down. Never let you down. The Lord ain't never let me down. Every time I cried and got on my knees, he came and answered. Every time they hurt me, I get on my knees and I cry to the Lord. Lord, it hurt, but I know you love me, Lord. Would you come heal me? He healed me every single time. I don't have to stay mad at nobody. I have no accusation or no offense against nobody in the whole wide world because I get to run to my Heavenly Father. I don't care what people do to me. Now, that might sound kind of bold. I don't care what people do to me. I got a God who loves me, and he loves you too. He loves you too.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.